It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's eat, boys. Good morning. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Time to get after it on a Thursday. I would say time to get our heads right, but I don't see a lot of right heads out there on my social media feed. Don't see a lot in my DMs. Don't see a lot in my text messages from people that I know and love. People are losing their minds, and it's the San Diego Padres' fault. Well, actually, it should be. It's my fault, and it's Ben's fault, and it's Sammy Lev's fault. When our fan base reaches the point of blaming Sammy Lev for literally anything, you know it's over. It's over. Sam Levitt, the hardest working guy maybe in this town, the guy that is the least controversial, the guy that is the just the steward of our team. When he starts catching shrapnel, it's over. Season's done. You blew it. Okay? So we're going to get into all this. Matt Kemp, what in the ever-loving F happened to you? What happened to you, man? This is unbelievable. What a Mamba mentality from Matt Kemp. Talk about him. Talk about all kinds of stuff that transpired last night up in Anaheim and really the last few nights. Pretty pathetic, to say the least. And to be honest, the play was pathetic, but so have been some of the reactions. So we'll talk about all of it. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the EP, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Benny catching massive amounts of heat last night. Unwarranted. Unwarranted heat, in my opinion.
Tough day yesterday.
It was a rough one.
Oh, man. No, I don't mean the Padres. I meant I went to the dentist and learned I have a touch of gingivitis. And that's devastating. I take good care of my teeth.
Yeah, you do. I see your teeth every day. Your teeth are they're pearly white. You're on the news.
I don't know what I've done wrong, but the dentist said, yeah, you're just going to have to work a little harder at cleaning out the plaque in between.
Do you floss?
Yeah, I floss.
What do you use? Do you use floss or do you use like the
dental tape?
The picks?
Like the
picks.
No, I use floss.
Okay. Gingivitis.
Gingivitis. They said he said it's not a full blown case of gum disease, but you do have a touch of gingivitis. You're gonna have to address that.
Yeah, we're just getting old. Just getting old.
Do the Padres have gum disease or just a little gingivitis? I think that's the question here. Is this a full blown case? Are we looking at dentures? Are we gonna have to replace the teeth completely?
I don't think I want to see a case.
Or do they just need to floss a little bit better, and once they do, things will be just fine in the future?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with this team, but I know it's the media's fault. That's one thing. And I hate coming in and feeling on the defensive, but when you see stuff that comes out like yesterday, some of the DMs I got, some of the weird takes, I understand, man. When things go poorly, we all want to look for a reason and a scapegoat. But I'm not going to apologize for the Ben and Woods program. We just do our show. We've always done it this way. We're going to continue to do it this way. And I don't think it has one iota of effect on Jurickson Profar. I don't think Jurickson Profar is playing well because we were nice to him. And I don't think somebody's playing poorly because we're not hard enough on him. I just don't. And I will always believe that because, again, I sat in here yesterday and talked about being accountable and being accountable for your own actions. And then you saw the clip. Let's just get right into the Matt Kemp, because I couldn't believe this. I mean, what a way to kick off the show. Matt Kemp was on a podcast.
Hang on one second. Okay. Give me a second.
Paulie's going to find it. Matt Kemp was on a podcast I'd never heard of yesterday, but they were talking baseball and his career. And he had something to say that just blew me away. Now, you covered Matt Kemp when I did not. I was next door playing Walk the Moon and Capital Cities, and I watched, obviously, I watched every Padres game. When they acquired Matt Kemp, my initial thought that day was, isn't he ravaged by injury? Ravaged by injury. Isn't he really high-priced and not healthy? What a weird move for A.J. Preller to make. That was my initial thought before I covered this team. It did not go well for Matt Kemp here in San Diego. I realize he did bring a cycle. Big effing deal about a cycle. What happened with Matt Kemp?
My sense is that Matt Kemp, when the Padres acquired him, as A.J. has done a number of times, trying to change the narrative of who are the San Diego Padres. You know, make a splash, bring in a player with some experience and credibility. When Matt Kemp arrived, though, he got to a place that was not, that was still trapped in the cycle of, all right, this is a losing organization, a losing team, and a losing franchise. And he never adapted. He was still a Dodger. He was a Dodger playing in Padres uniforms when he came down
here. A wolf in sheep's clothing.
He never embraced the fact that he's on a different organization now. He's going to have to take a different role. He just brought his Dodgerness down to San Diego and put on a Padres jersey.
Yeah, didn't want to be here, really, right? Didn't play well when he was here. So let's hear what he had to say yesterday.
I got traded to Atlanta from San Diego. Man, I was like super happy because I wanted to get out of San Diego because it was weird. It was just weird vibes. I just don't think San Diego is one of them places that, like, San Diego's a beautiful place, but just like for me at that time, a baseball player, you know, there, like, I was used to like being in LA and people holding you accountable, especially the media.
Yeah.
Like, the media be like, hey, why you suck right now? Where you'd be like, all right, man, I gotta get these motherfuckers off my back.
Oh.
Like, in San Diego, the first month and a half, I was terrible. I'm at my locker like this. Nobody bothering me, asking me questions. I was like, I need to go somewhere where it, like, matters.
So getting to Atlanta, right, though.
So, I would suck. No one would be at my locker to ask me why I sucked. So let's. I feel like a time to kill right now. Let's break that down for a second. You needed Kevin Acey. Who was the beat writer back then?
Back then, might have been Tom Krasovic from the UT.
Okay, and Tom.
It was probably Dennis, actually, at the UT.
Dennis, okay, that might have been when he was still with the UT. So
Corey Brock was MLB.com.
So you suck, admittedly. And then you, because Dennis Lynn wasn't there to ask you, what's your problem? You're like, man, this is I need these guys to motivate me.
Well, he just admitted. He knew. He already knew he sucked.
Right.
He said, I'm playing terrible, but no one's there to ask me why. But you already know you're playing terrible.
Right. And get on him a little bit. I mean, okay, so, again, I heard that clip. I listened to it a few times yesterday. I don't know that the fever pitch for the San Diego Padres, I mean, it kind of restarted there when A.J. started trying to acquire a lot of talent and bring it in. But to me, I looked at that and said, you want to go somewhere where it really matters, right? The fans respond to players that play well, and the fans respond to players that embrace the city. The fans respond to players that bust their ass for the franchise and realize, I'm a big leaguer. I just got traded here. They see something in me. They value me. You didn't value us? That's not our fault. That is not the fault. Also, Todd Strain from NBC yesterday tweeted, didn't Matt Kemp have like a big recliner that he dragged into Andy Green's office where he would sit where the media wasn't allowed? Let's get the full context here of Matt Kemp and his time in San Diego. Again, I wasn't here. I was here, but I wasn't covering that team. But I mean, I've had
this. Whatever Matt Kemp said has nothing to do with this team.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero whatsoever.
Zero. At the time, there was excitement, you know, rockstar GM.
Yeah, dude, it was catching on.
There was a new excitement about the Padres, but there was no you know, established culture of fandom, even, are surrounding the Padres coming, you know, into that season. Now, there's no way anyone can argue that Petco Park isn't one of the most dynamic, electric places to play baseball. Sold out almost every single day. The fans are loud. The fans are into it. It's as good of baseball environment and city now as anywhere in America. And the players will tell you that. So there's no excuse to say that, you know, I just, you know, San Diego, it's just laid back place and I didn't feel it. No, that's not what it's like anymore. So that's not an excuse that this team, I will lose my mind if someone on this team right now said
that.
Hey,
yeah.
I just wish you know fans and media cared more here in San Diego. No one's cared more about the Padres in the history of the Padres than they do
right now
these last couple of seasons.
And his numbers weren't actually terrible in 2015. And when he got traded to the Braves, they actually fell off. They actually fell off from his numbers here in San Diego. So I don't know, man. I think I saw that yesterday and I went, geez, Matt. Like,
he had a lot of the same traits as Eric Hosmer. And especially when you look back at their Padres tenure, it's like, bro, you just said it. You ran from the media. Like when Hosmer says, oh, you know, I wish I had a platform.
Yeah.
Like, bro, you had all the platforms you could want.
I would have given you.
I would have given
you the 7 a.m. hour every day of our show. We tried so hard to get Eric Hosmer on.
Matt Kemp is essentially admitting what I think we all felt at the time. He viewed going from the Dodgers to the Padres as a demotion to the minor leagues. He was getting paid like a big leaguer, but he felt like he was going from a big league team to a minor league team in San Diego.
And
he treated it that way. He treated it that way. Not that he didn't, you know, have some good games and produce, but he treated just the atmosphere. He just felt like, I'm now in a minor league city. I was in a big league city in Los Angeles. Now I'm in a minor league city in San Diego.
That's a minor league state of mind, I think. And I don't know Matt Kemp personally. I think he was a good player when he was with the Dodgers, and I think he had a good season when he was here. And I know I sure was excited to get him here. I was. But his body had broken down, and his career declined after that. I don't think it's the fault of the Padres media. I don't think it's the fault of the Atlanta media. I don't think it's the fault of the Reds media who he went to. I don't think it's the fault of the Colorado media who he went to. I really don't. And, like, here's the funny thing. I hate the media. I hate sports media. I think it's ridiculous and toxic and performative. But I have to defend it when stupid stuff like this and when Cameron Maben comes out and says, no, you've got to call people names and scream at the players for them to do better. Problem with this city has been this. For the last 6 years, it was Andy Green's fault. Then it was Jace Tingler's fault. Then it was Bob Melvin's fault. And now it's Mike Shildt's fault. No one's blaming the players. It's the players' fault. There is 26 guys responsible for this record right now. And damn near 26 guys alone. They all wear jerseys with their number on their back and their name. That's it. It's the only fault. The only fault should fall on the players. Could Mike Shildt have pushed a different button here too? Of course. Of course. Every manager could. Rob Thompson in Philly probably could have won a few more games. He hasn't lost a bunch, but he hasn't pushed every right button. It's on the players and the players alone. All of them. Every single one. It's bonehead base running. Lazy errors, terrible decisions, uncompetitive at bats, uncompetitive pitches. It's on them. It's not Mike Shildt's fault that Yuki Matsui can't throw a ball in the zone. It's not Ben Fritz's fault. It's not Ruben Niebla's fault. It's Yuki Matsui's fault. It's Luis Arraez's fault for running into that out last night. That's whose fault it is, and that's whose fault it always will be.
Okay, you've just held two players accountable right there. Luis Arraez and Yuki Matsui.
I mean, it changed the Arraez's play last night, and I love him, but it took us right out of the game. Right out of the game. It's not my fault Manny's leading Major League Baseball in double play. It's Manny's fault. It's not anyone's fault but the players. So when you blame me or Ben or Sammy Leavitt or the Padres front office, no, it's on the players. It's on them. It always has been on them. It always will be on them. That's it. I mean, that's I don't know how to be any clearer about that. And when you start pointing fingers at other people, it's exactly what the players want. It's exactly what they want. They have to play.
At the same time, I don't think the answer is now, well, you got to bench Luis Arraez because he made a mistake.
Absolutely not.
He made a mistake.
Bro, that's
and it was
that,
a costly one.
That is that thing. That's that thing where...
Does that mean your organization doesn't have any accountability, though? When players make mistakes and they're not punished some way for those mistakes, are you now lacking accountability? What are you supposed to do on a big league level when one of your best players makes a costly mistake? How do you respond to that as a manager, a general manager? You know he's one of your best players.
Correct.
He made a mistake. So now what's the accountability for that?
And that's always the most fascinating question. Does he go, I can't do it. I can't go chew Luis Arraez out for his base running. Right? That's fair. I think you can ask him, what happened there? What were you doing? And we're going to talk to Schilt tomorrow. And I'm going to ask Mike Schilt straight up. You keep saying that you trust their instincts on the base path. Why? I see them run into a lot of outs. I see them, with plays right in front of them, run into outs. I've seen some questionable sends, but listen, man, those can go 50-50. I get it. You never know where the ball's going to go. Is it going to carry them off the catcher's knee? You take chances there. I'm fine being aggressive. I'm not fine being reckless. And I've seen more reckless behavior instead of aggressive. Now, what do you do, Mike, with a big leaguer? Do you bring out Luis Arraez today to the field and go, okay.
Hey, I want you there at 2 o'clock.
I want you to get a good secondary here, Luis. You got to make sure. Right. Are you teaching them? Because I don't think you do. I think you.
I also don't think you should.
Exactly. They're pros. I think you can say, hey, guys, let's red light tonight. Let's see what we can do offensively before we start running into outs. That's something I think you can do. But you said it off the air. Are you then hamstringing your team?
I don't know. The way this team hits, if you're telling them you got to back off aggression on the base path, so, all right, so we need four singles now to score a run if we're not going to be aggressive on the base paths. You don't get four hits in an inning that often in Major League Baseball.
For sure.
And you're not getting tons of extra base hits, so now you're asking your team to do the nearly impossible to put together rallies. Yeah, they did it in Kansas City. They got 11 hits in an inning. Wake me up when that happens again. You know, we'll probably be old and very gray by the time that ever happens again. So if you're going to hit a lot of singles, if you're going to be a team that's putting the ball in play, making contact, you have to be aggressive on the base paths, or you're just sitting there first, for second, third, home. That's not a recipe for an effective offense.
No,
right
it's
there.
Not. I mean, but again, the thing that's hysterical, and I love Alex. Alex is in our chat every day, but he says, Machado, Musgrove, Xander, and you contract will hurt us for years. That's what needs to be talked about. It has been. It has been ad nauseum. But, Alex, what are you going to do about it? What can you do about it? Nothing. You're hamstrung. That's what I said before the season started. Being a fan is the team giving you a bowl and saying, eat it or don't.
It's not like the Padres held an open forum before those contracts and said, hey, this is what we're about to do.
You guys agree?
Yay or nay, let's talk about
but
it.
But
it's already happened. There's nothing you can do about
right,
it.
Of Musgrove, hurt. Machado just got hurt yesterday. Is there anyone that you wouldn't want on the team right now? Like, if you could just say goodbye... And is that make the team better to get rid of Manny Machado? No, of course not.
That being said, if you could say to the fan base, if you gave them the opportunity to say, cut them all and you don't lose any money, they probably would. They probably would. So, and that's your prerogative. I'm keeping those guys. I'm going to ride with those guys. That being said, you know, I can understand, but you cannot change those contracts. Those contracts are done. You got to look forward. Looking behind is going to kill you. It's just going to kill you. There you go. That's it. I'm done.
Is that foreplay? I don't even know.
This is like the most aggressive foreplay of all time.
We will we'll set the menu for the show. That was like our longest opening segment ever. And we'll come back on a throwback Thursday, a roundtable Thursday. That'll get spicy. Coming up at 10 o'clock today with Ben and Wood. Let's check traffic with Kelly here on San Diego's number one sports station. Oh, Vicky Pepper. I did get an email that Kelly was going to be out. Thank you. Vicky, in today with traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. It's
better. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I almost brought a bottle of Basil Hayden in today, which is a delicious, delicious whiskey.
I've seen that. I don't think I've ever tried it before.
It's really good. It was just going to pour us all a glass. We could sit back and clink our glasses together. And then I thought, oh, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. And
hey, that losing streak turns to 5, maybe tomorrow morning we'll break it out.
All right, deal.
Is it Basil or Basil?
I thought it was Basil.
I don't know.
I know,
England.
Yeah, we all saw Austin Powers
spelled Basil.
We watched
pronounced Basil.
Hello, Basil.
London, England.
Yeah, no. I was like, man, I need to have like a shot of something to get going today. But yeah, if they lose tonight, holy smokes, that will be 5 straight.
Will be the second time they've lost 5 in a row this year. They have this is their second 4-game losing streak as well. Last time it was surrounding that sweep by the Philadelphia Phillies. A little more understandable than getting swept by the Rockies or the Angels, certainly. But after that 5-game losing streak, they ran off 4 wins in a row and began that current stretch where they had won, eight now of their last 12 series, had been 8 of 11 before they went to Anaheim. Can they snap and turn on a dime again when they come home tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks? Kind of have to. They've already shown that they can do it and did it once. Will they be able to do it again and just turn around after a stretch of very poor play and go on a nice, 2-3 week run of good play again?
Boring again. I mean, just as mid and boring as a baseball game could be last night. And again, I'm going to die on the hill today that that's a different ball game entirely if that first inning doesn't happen. It just sucked all the air out of the team. And then you start to get those feelings of 2023 where it's like, all right, that's it. We're done. I mean, and I saw that so much in 2023, so much. And this year, I hadn't really seen the give up Padres until recently. Recently, the give up Padres have been like a the little groundhog that pokes his head out of the ground. They're like, hey, we're still here too, San Diego and all that. And I know,
have you seen it before this four game losing streak? Because they had won 5 of 6 going into these last four games.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like early in the season, I saw, oh, we're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. And, you know, listen, again, they had chances last night to win that game.
The one loss was that one in Miami.
Correct.
That was an ugly loss.
Stunk.
The last five losses have all been really brutal.
They have been terrible.
There was the 9-1 loss to the Marlins.
Awful.
Which you threw out a little bit because it came surrounded by five wins. And now the last four in a row, starting with Sunday. I mean, going into the ninth inning on Sunday in Kansas City, you could argue that Padres were at their high point of the season. They had, looking for a sweep of Kansas City, looking to go a season-high 4 games above .500, had a lead of 3-1 going into that inning. Things were never better for the San Diego Padres than they were 3.5 days ago. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure.
3.5 days ago, Sunday afternoon in Kansas City, that was the high point going into the ninth inning, about to win your third straight, about to go 4 games above .500 for the first time this season. Everything was finally coming together and heading in a positive direction. And then Yuki Matsui came in, blew the game. And since then, now we feel like we're at a low point of the season. Maybe not record-wise, but it feels like this is the low point for the Padres now in 2024.
Yuki Matsui came in and blew the game because Stephen Kolek couldn't hold an 8-run lead. Stephen Kolek is on the team as a Rule 5 guy because A.J. Preller brought him in, won't give him up. Haven't seen him since, right? We haven't seen Stephen Kolek throw since. And now with Yuki being fairly ineffective, you get the chain reaction. And what that chain reaction is four straight losses. And, listen, you're going to have to find a way to right the ship. And now you're coming home where you hate playing. I mean, it doesn't bode well for this team
Maybe playing badly on the road will,
maybe the narrative flips.
Cure them of not playing well at home. I know people hate perspective.
Don't give any perspective. You cannot give perspective.
I mean, is it
the
not...
next words out of your mouth are if the playoffs?
No, it's not. It's is it worth mentioning that the Padres lost 4 games by a total of 5 runs?
No, it's not because that they should have won those games by 14.
Well, yes, it makes it more frustrating. It absolutely makes it more frustrating. Is it cause for panic though?
Yes.
When you're losing just a bunch of close games, or is that part of a baseball season?
Do you not feel panicked? Because I feel panicked. Panicked is the right word for what I feel.
I feel panicked.
I did not feel panicked. You know what? I didn't really feel panicked after the Rockies series. I was pissed. But I was like, weird stuff like this happens in the course of a baseball season. I even said, hey, man, teams that won the World Series... The Rangers got swept by the Padres, and they won the World Series. The Padres were terrible at that time. It happens. Now, when it continues to happen, that's when the panic sits.
I guess what
up.
I was worried about this week with Joe Musgrove and
yes,
Yu Darvish,
Joe Darvish
going on the injured list was that all of a sudden we'd see the Padres giving up 6, 7, 8 runs a game.
No, pitching's been phenomenal.
And that would have been what I was going to panic about. Like, okay, the pitching depth is falling apart here, and they're not going to be competitive in these games because they don't have enough pitching. And that hasn't been the case at all. They have 4 consecutive quality starts. 3 were fantastic. Last night, obviously, Dylan Cease gave up the 2 home runs, but after that, gave up nothing. The pitching has been really good. The thing I was most worried about this week has been outstanding for the Padres. And I wasn't really worried about the hitting.
No.
The hitting looked great coming into this week.
And again, I
had no concerns about the offense.
Just the lefty thing, but you thought that would.
There were minor concerns, but not. That's not what I was kind of concerned about.
Sucks.
I don't know. It just wasn't what I was looking for this week at all.
It goes back to the overarching theme of this job and baseball fans. You don't know anything, and you can't prognosticate anything. Nothing. When you see at the beginning of the year, geez, dude, we got a whole lineup. 1 through 9 is right-handed hitters. We're dead against righties. We're dead. Everybody would have said that. You could have gone to MLB Network and said, look at this Padres lineup. What do you see? Every person from Harold Reynolds to Mark DeRosa, down the line, they go, they got no lefties. There's no lefties on this team. We got to get some lefties. No! We only hit right-handed pitching. So again, Harold Reynolds, Ben Higgins, Stephen Woods, Hacksaw Hamilton, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, you don't know anything.
They faced a right-hander last night, and they did not score runs last night.
Correct.
Now, they made contact. They struck out once. It's weird.
They beat the ball into the ground. Yeah, yeah. They beat the ball in the ground all night. 9-10 straight ground balls.
Yeah, a lot of ground balls.
My son, who's 6, was like, hit it in the air. Try to get a home run, for the love of God. It's panic time.
And then they do that, and it's like, oh, great, swinging for the fences, and there's a bunch of warning track flies, and it's last year.
Soriano's like, ground ball to fly ball ratio is 13 ground balls to 2 fly balls.
How are you not panicked? I'm panicked.
I guess I'm not as panicked because I've accepted that this is who this team is.
Well, we've all said it. They're a 500 team, right. And now we're all upset because they're playing like a 500 team.
And they'll win 3 out of 4 against the Diamondbacks, then they'll drop 2 out of 3 against the A's, and they'll be 1 game below .500 in a week. Mark my words. Like, and they're going to hit a bunch of ground balls, and they're not going to hit a lot of home runs because through 65 games or whatever. This is who this team is.
This is what they
are. We learned that lesson last year. I can't harp that enough. After 60 games, you can learn who your team is.
Rob says trying to hit home runs leads to crappy at bats. You know what else it leads to? Leads to home runs, and we don't hit enough. We don't hit enough.
The lack of slug is something that I am concerned
about.
Sure. No doubt about it.
Slug in like 3 years, it feels like, since 22.
I mean, you know, Juan Soto brought some slug.
Yep.
Manny hit 30 bombs last year. I thought this team would slug a little bit better than they have, and they just have not had a ton of slugging percentage. And that, I think, is a legit concern in addition to the left-handed thing. We'll talk about all of these issues, including on the roundtable, coming up at 10 o'clock. We do need to get to our Padres wrap-up. That's in our next segment. It's a lot of Padres talk. Our usual features, it is a throwback Thursday, which means we'll play some real or fake for a chance to win those tickets to the Kings late night at the San Diego County Fair in our 7 o'clock hour. It's an Eno Saris Smart Baseball Thursday. The Padres even defy Eno Saris's smartness usually, though, but we'll see what his perspective on all of this is at 8:35. That is coming up later on the program today, but Padres wrap up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, I had the same idea as Jim Morrison's. I woke up this morning and got myself a beer.
You were thinking,
I was thinking the same thing.
Hayden's whiskey, yeah. But along those same lines.
Yeah, Roadhouse Blues, the Padres Blues have struck us all right here on June. What is it? I can't even read that. 6th?
Yeah.
6th. June 6th. Apathy. Apathy watching this team the last year. I didn't even get mad.
It's funny because Friday and Saturday,
I thought I was fired up.
They looked like the most exciting team in 100%, baseball.
100%.
That's less than a week ago.
Went in and just smacked. And again, you almost lost an 11-3 lead in the 9th inning, so I understand. But, bro, to go into Kansas City and win those two, I was like, yes, these guys are fitting their stride. They're going to go in. They're going to sweep this. They're going to dominate L.A., come back. And let's go ahead and knock the Arizona Diamondbacks out. Just boom, boom, boom. They're without Zach Gallen. Corbin Carroll's playing like Trent Grisham, you know, basically at this point. Like, let's take it to these guys. We are about to go on a run. And once again, baseball steps up, heavy weighted boot, and kicks me right in the tank. Just, right in the middle. They didn't even get the boys. They got right between it, right in the tank. That's how I feel.
Speaking of L.A., the sportscaster in me cannot... not mention, if you're just waking up, there was some big news this morning that came out of basketball world.
Speaking of L.A.,
what are you doing?
Well, I just was stunned when I saw this. Like, people in basketball are legitimately stunned after it seemed like the Lakers were about to hire J.J. Redick. Now it looks like they're about to hire Dan Hurley from UConn as their new head coach.
Aztecs fans, rejoice.
That's a good point. You don't have to face him potentially anymore in the NCAA tournament if he goes to Los Angeles and takes over the Lakers. Woj is reporting a massive deal in the works for Dan Hurley to lure him from Connecticut to the Lakers.
That's
what everyone else in the country is talking about. We're talking about the Padres, though, and we'll get to our Padres wrap-up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
2-2 to Schonewell. Cease will deliver. And the pitch is swung on, sent in the air, high and deep to right center. Maryland Tatis are both back at the wall, looking up. Going to go. Home run for Nolan Schonewell. His sixth of the year, a leadoff shot. And the Angels take a 1-0 lead. Ohapi small lead at first. The 1-1 pitch hit in the air to deep left field. Profar's backing up. Still going back. At the wall. Jumps up. Gonna go. Second homer of the night for the Angels. This one a two-run shot for Neto. They lead it 3-0 here in the second. 3-2. Swing and a miss. Blew a fastball right past him. 98 miles an hour. Fourth strike out of the night. And a second straight 1-2-3 inning for Dylan Cease. Here's a hard hit grounder the other way. That's a fair ball up the third baseline. Campusano rounding second. Going to try. Ward will come up throwing. Not in time. And into second goes Arise as the ball goes over toward the Padre dugout. Campusano will score. Arise goes to third. And just like that, the Padres are on the board. Here's the pitch. Fernando swings. Loops it into shallow right. Adell charging. Tried to make the underhand catch and couldn't. Left it on the grass. Arise will score. It's a one-run game in the sixth. 3-2 Angels in the ninth. Ha-Seong Kim to face Matt Moore. He'll walk against him last night. First pitch swinging and a pop-up. Left side of the infield. Neto will call off Renjifo. On the dirt, about midway between second and third, he makes the catch. A 1-2-3 ninth for Matt Moore. His first save in 2 years. And the Angels have swept the Padres with a 3-2 win here tonight.
It's you know, it's an outlier for sure. You know, clearly we've got the team to beat anybody. But we didn't show up and play well against this club. And to their credit, outside of one play, they executed the whole series. And they played good baseball and they got good pitching. And Toriano was, you know, a good sinker going and kept balls on the ground. And we got opportunities, got in their bullpen. We just couldn't get over the hump.
Not pictured or not heard in the highlight montage, what was perhaps the most critical play of the game on the second batter of the game, when Luis Arraez was thrown out going from first to third on Fernando Tatis Jr.'s infield single, potentially torpedoing what would have been a big inning to start the game for the Padres, and instead turning it into an emergency hatch for the Angels pitcher, who Soriano was good, but had he had to work for, you know, had to throw 25, 30 pitches, giving up a run or two in the first inning, perhaps that sinker would not have been the same sinker the rest of the game. You let him off the hook on five pitches in the first inning.
Yeah.
And I think that helped him out going forward, allowing him to go through six innings, give up just the one earned run, two runs in the game. That was a critical play in the game when Arraez got thrown out in the first inning.
I mean, again, it's one of those games where the opposing team tries to hand it. I mean, our only runs really came because of the Angels' mistakes, and that's what you had said we were kind of waiting for. Had they played like that in all three games, I'm still not sure if we win one or any of those games. Honestly, I'm still not sure based on, you know, just the lack of offense that this team has exhibited this week at all. So very, very frustrating three-game series. Very boring three-game series. A lot of mistakes. You know, couldn't capitalize on their mistakes. I think I'm a little bit tired of the, you know, well, they played well too. And it's again, they're one of the worst teams in baseball at home. They had not won consecutive games at home. You just gave them three. And now you're in a much bigger hole than you should have been. And that's the really unfortunate part for the Padres and Mike Schilt. And, you know, he is Mr. Positive. I don't think he's going to change. His job is to keep that clubhouse intact after this. That clubhouse, every year it goes off a cliff, whether it's Jace Tingler, whether it's Andy Green, whether it's Mike Schilt, whether it's Bob Melvin. Clubhouse goes off a cliff every year. His job is to keep it from not doing that. So if he's at least publicly going to defend his players and give all the credit to the other team, I hate hearing it, but that's clearly his MO, right?
I mean, we heard Bob Melvin start to grumble last year about his own team. That didn't go well
for him. Damn thing.
So
yeah.
Again, I don't know that I can get mad at Mike Schilt for just being positive and optimistic about his team. Well, but that's not what you're hearing inside the clubhouse.
So this is great. Good segue. Mace, in your face, says the difference between what Schilt is saying after games and what players are saying after games is crazy. You should ask him about that tomorrow. We asked him about it last. If it wasn't last week, it was 2 weeks ago, and I think it was crony as well. And I think it was the roller coaster comment. I said, "Yeah, but crony said it's a roller coaster, or Manny said it's a roller coaster." He said, "Oh, I didn't." That means that you're not. I don't want to say you're not on the same page, because the same page is trying to win ball games. But they're all saying something different every single night. The players are.
Manny said yesterday, actually before the game, he said these games are probably going to come and haunt us.
Yep.
That's just a rational, realistic take. Jake Cronenworth said that we play good against good teams. We play bad against teams with bad records. It can't happen. We've done it in the past. Same thing. We need to find a way to switch that. These are series we need to win. That's not what you're hearing from the manager.
No.
But, you know, maybe a more of a dose of reality from the players acknowledging that there's something they're not doing right. Jurickson Profar said, is there a mental issue when it comes to playing teams with losing records? He said, I think so, yes. We do a lot of things to lose.
Just utterly, utterly, utterly inexplicable. I don't understand. I don't understand.
If you saw Manny Machado go taken out of the game in the fourth inning after pulling up on a fielder's choice grounder at first base, hustling to make sure he wasn't doubled up, but you could see him grab his right leg. He was diagnosed with a mild hip flexor strain, and Mike Schilt says he is day-to-day. Manny says chance he could even play today. My guess is that, you know, they'll be cautious like they were with Arise. Arise missed a game and then was back in the lineup as a DH. We'll see if they take a similar tack with Manny Machado. He even lobbied to stay in the game, he said, but Mike Schilt tried to play it smart and made him come out of the game there in the fourth inning.
Well, this has been the way that it's worked the last 6 years that we've covered the team. So there's some underperforming right now. So now the media is going to be on the. We're on the spit right now, roasting up in the backyard. In about 3 weeks, it's going to be all on Schilt, and then they'll be wanting another manager in. We like to average a manager every 18 months or so, which is really good for
year
me.
Year and a half.
Every year and a half, so it's good. It's good average. It's what you want from your team. AJ's going to be under the gun soon.
How about this? It's the hitting coach's fault.
Hitting coach. I've already seen him. I mean, I'm ready to run him out of town, so... Listen, it's the same cycle. Nothing changes.
Or Mike Schilt will be right, and they'll start playing some good baseball again.
Or not.
We'll get optimistic.
Or not.
They have done it about half the time this year.
Correct. Exactly half the time.
To be fair, that is true. All right, we'll continue our discussion, play a little Real or Fake and a Throwback Thursday next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, I had the same idea as Jim Morrison's. I woke up this morning and got myself a beer. That was my exact same.
You were thinking.
I was thinking the same
Basil
thing.
Hayden's whiskey, yeah. But along those same lines.
Yeah, Roadhouse Blues, the Padres Blues, have struck us all right here on June. What is it? I can't even read that. Sixth.
Yeah,
sixth. June 6th. Apathy. Apathy. Watching this team the last. I didn't even get mad.
It's funny because Friday and Saturday.
I thought it was fired up.
They looked
dude.
Like the most exciting team in 100%, baseball.
100%.
That's less than a week ago.
Went in and just smacked. And again, you almost lost an 11-3 lead in the ninth inning. So I understand, but bro, to go into Kansas City and win those two, I was like, yes, these guys are hitting their stride. They're going to go in. They're going to sweep this. They're going to dominate LA. Come back. And let's go ahead and knock the Arizona Diamondbacks out. Just boom, boom, boom. They're without Zach Gallen. Corbin Carroll's playing like Trent Grisham, you know, basically at this point. Like, let's take it to these guys. We are about to go on a run. And once again, baseball steps up, heavy weighted boot, and kicks me right in the tank. Just, right in the middle. They didn't even get the boys. They got right between it, right in the tank. That's how I feel.
Speaking of LA, the sportscaster in me cannot... not mention, if you're just waking up, there was some big news this morning that came out of the basketball world.
What are you doing?
the Lakers.
What are you doing?
Speaking of LA,
what are you doing?
Well, I just was stunned when I saw this. Like, people in basketball are legitimately stunned after it seemed like the Lakers were about to hire J.J. Redick. Now it looks like they're about to hire Dan Hurley from UConn as their new head coach.
Aztecs fans, rejoice.
That's a good point. You don't have to face him potentially anymore in the NCAA tournament if he goes to Los Angeles and takes over the Lakers. Woj is reporting a massive deal in the works for Dan Hurley to lure him from Connecticut to the Lakers.
That's bananas, man.
That's what everyone else in the country is talking about. We're talking about the Padres, though, and we'll get to our Padres wrap-up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
2-2 to Shawnwell. Cease will deliver. And the pitch is swung on, sent in the air, high and deep to right center. Marilyn Tatis are both back at the wall, looking up. Going to go. Home run for Nolan Shawnwell. His sixth of the year, a leadoff shot. And the Angels take a 1-0 lead. Ohapi's small lead at first. The 1-1 pitch hit in the air to deep left field. Profar's backing up. Still going back. At the wall. Jumps up. Going to go. Second homer of the night for the Angels. This one a two-run shot for Neto. They lead it 3-0 here in the second. 3-2. Swing and a miss. Blew a fastball right past him. 98 miles an hour. Fourth strike out of the night. And a second straight 1-2-3 inning for Dylan Cease. Here's a hard hit grounder the other way. That's a fair ball up the third baseline. Campusano rounding second. Going to try. Ward will come up throwing. Not in time. And into second goes Arise as the ball goes over toward the Padre dugout. Campusano will score. Arise goes to third. And just like that, the Padres are on the board. Here's the pitch. Fernando swings. Loops it into shallow right. Adell charging. Tried to make the underhand catch and couldn't. Left it on the grass. Arise will score. It's a one-run game in the sixth. 3-2 Angels in the ninth. Ha-Seong Kim to face Matt Moore. He'll walk against him last night. First pitch swinging and a pop-up. Left side of the infield. Neto will call off Renjifo on the dirt about midway between second and third. He makes the catch. A 1-2-3 ninth for Matt Moore. His first save in 2 years. And the Angels have swept the Padres with a 3-2 win here tonight.
It's an outlier for sure. Clearly we've got the team to beat anybody. But we didn't show up and play well against this club. And to their credit, outside of one play, they executed the whole series and they played good baseball and they got good pitching. And Toriano was, a good sinker going and kept balls in the ground. And we got opportunities, got in their bullpen. We just couldn't get over the hump.
Not pictured or not heard in the highlight montage, what was perhaps the most critical play of the game on the second batter of the game when Luis Arraez was thrown out going from first to third on Fernando Tatis Jr.'s infield single, potentially torpedoing what would have been a big inning to start the game for the Padres, and instead turning it into an emergency hatch for the Angels pitcher, who Soriano was good, but had he had to work for, had to throw 25, 30 pitches, giving up a run or two in the first inning, perhaps that sinker would not have been the same sinker the rest of the game. You let him off the hook on 5 pitches in the first inning.
Yeah.
And I think that helped him out going forward, allowing him to go through 6 innings, give up just the one earned run, 2 runs in the game. That was a critical play in the game when Arraez got thrown out in the first inning.
I mean, again, it's one of those games where the opposing team tries to hand it. I mean, our only runs really came because of the Angels' mistakes, and that's what you had said we were kind of waiting for. Had they played like that in all 3 games, I'm still not sure if we win one or any of those games. Honestly, I'm still not sure based on just the lack of offense that this team has exhibited this week at all. So very, very frustrating 3-game series. Very boring 3-game series. A lot of mistakes. you know, couldn't capitalize on their mistakes. I think I'm a little bit tired of the, you know, oh, they played well too. And it's again, they're one of the worst teams in baseball at home. They had not won consecutive games at home. You just gave them three. And now you're in a much bigger hole than you should have been. And that's the really unfortunate part for the Padres and Mike Shildt. And, you know, he is Mr. Positive. I don't think he's going to change. His job is to keep that clubhouse intact after this. That clubhouse we have, I mean, every year it goes off a cliff, whether it's Jace Tingler, whether it's Andy Green, whether it's Mike Shildt, whether it's Bob Melvin. Clubhouse goes off a cliff every year. His job is to keep it from not doing that. So if he's at least publicly going to defend his players and give all the credit to the other team, I hate hearing it, but that's clearly his MO, right?
I mean, we heard Bob Melvin start to grumble last year about his own team. That didn't go well
for him.
Didn't do
a damn thing, yeah.
I don't know that I can get mad at Mike Shildt for just being positive and optimistic about his team, but that's not what you're hearing inside the clubhouse.
So this is great. Good segue. Mace in your face says the difference between what Shildt is saying after games and what players are saying after games is crazy. You should ask him about that tomorrow. We asked him about it last, if it wasn't last week, it was 2 weeks ago. And I think it was crony as well. And I think it was the roller coaster comment. I said, yeah, but crony said it's a roller coaster. Or Manny said it's a roller coaster. He said, I didn't. That means that you're not, I don't want to say you're not on the same page, because the same page is trying to win ball games. But they're all saying something different every single night. The players are.
Manny said yesterday, actually before the game, he said these games are probably going to come and haunt us.
Yep.
That's just a rational, realistic take. Jake Cronenworth said that we play good against good teams. We play bad against teams with bad records. It can't happen. We've done it in the past. Same thing. We need to find a way to switch that. These are series we need to win. That's not what you're hearing from the manager.
No.
But, you know, maybe a more of a dose of reality from the players acknowledging that there's something they're not doing right. Jurickson Profar said, is there a mental issue when it comes to playing teams with losing records? He said, I think so, yes. We do a lot of things to lose.
Just utterly, utterly, utterly inexplicable. I don't understand. I don't understand.
If you saw Manny Machado go taken out of the game in the fourth inning after pulling up on a fielder's choice grounder at first base, hustling to make sure he wasn't doubled up, but you could see him grab his right leg. He was diagnosed with a mild hip flexor strain, and Mike Shildt says he is day-to-day. Manny says it's a chance he could even play today. My guess is that, you know, they'll be cautious like they were with Arise. Arise missed a game and then was back in the lineup as a DH. We'll see if they take a similar tack with Manny Machado. He even lobbied to stay in the game, he said, but Mike Shildt tried to play it smart and made him come out of the game there in the fourth inning.
Well, this has been the way that it's worked the last 6 years that we've covered the team. So there's some underperforming right now. So now the media is going to be on the, we're on the spit right now, roasting up in the backyard. In about 3 weeks, it's going to be all on Shildt. And then they'll be wanting another manager in. We like to average a manager every 18 months or so, which is really good for me.
Year and a half.
Every year and a half or so. It's good. It's good average. It's what you want from your team. AJ's going to be under the gun soon.
How about this? It's the hitting coach's fault.
Hitting coach. I've already seen him. I mean, I already run him out of town. So, listen, it's the same cycle. Nothing changes.
Or Mike Shildt will be right, and they'll start playing some good baseball again.
Or not.
We'll get optimistic.
Or not.
They have done it about half the time this year.
Correct. Exactly half the time.
To be fair, that is true. All right, we'll continue our discussion, play a little Real or Fake and a Throwback Thursday next year on 97.3 The Fan.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.